ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Shri Prahlad Uvacha. Varam Varaya Etat Te. Varadeshan Maheshwara. Yad adindat pitame, Twam adidvams tejas aishwaram, Sri Prahlad uvacha, Varam varaya etat te, Varadeshan Maheshwara, Yad Adindat Pitame, Twam Avidvams Tejashwaram, Sri Prahlad Uvacha, Varam varaya etat te, Varadeshan Maheshwara, Yad adin anindat pitame, Twam avidvams tej aishwaram, ladies. Shri Prarad. Prahlad Maharaj said, Varam, benediction, Varaye, I pray, Etat, this, Te, from you, Varat Isat, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who offers benedictions even to such exalted demigods as Brahma and Shiva, Maha-Ishwara, O my Supreme Lord, Yat, that, Anindat, vilified, Pita, Father, May, my, Twam, you, Avidvan, without knowledge of, Teja, strength, Aishwaram, supremacy. Prahlad Maharaj said, O Supreme Lord, because you are so merciful to fallen souls, I ask you for one, I ask you for only one benediction. I know that my father at the time of his death had already been purified by your glance upon him. But because of his ignorance of your beautiful power and supremacy, he was unnecessarily angry at you, falsely thinking that you were the killer of his brother. Thus, he directly blasphemed your lordship, the spiritual master of all living beings, and committed heavily sinful activities directed against me, your devotee. I wish that he be excused for these sinful activities. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Although Hiranyakashipu was purified, as soon as he came in contact with the Lord's lap and the Lord saw him, Prahlad Maharaj still wanted to hear from the Lord's own mouth that his father had been purified by the Lord's causeless mercy. Prahlad Maharaj offered this prayer to the Lord for the sake of his father. As a Vaishnav son, despite all the inconveniences imposed upon him by his father, he could not forget his father's affection. Om Gyantimidandasya Gyananjana Chalakaya Chakshurun Vilitam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Juthapada Kamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajataham Sahagana Ragunavanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vansha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patithanam Bhavanibhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasati Gaura Bhakta Brinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. We are reading today from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 10, entitled Prahlad, the Best Among Exalted Devotees, text number 15 through 17. In these chapters, Shukadeva Goswami has told the incredible historical narration of the qualities of Prahlad. In the glorification of the Lord, Krishna takes greatest pleasure to see his devotees glorified. Prahlad Maharaj, just a 5-year-old child, was subjected to the most terrible atrocities inflicted by his own father. Little Prahlad never disrespected his father, never spoke harshly to his father, was the most loving, kind, generous-hearted son. But he had one fault. He loved Krishna. And his father could not tolerate that. Hiranyakashipu, he was really an accomplished yogi. How many yogis could stand on the tips of their toes for 100 celestial years without breathing, without moving for a moment? Even when an anthill is built completely around your body, and the ants are eating your flesh and drinking your blood, up until you become nothing but a skeleton and still not moving, not breathing. He was really a powerful, determined yogi in the sense of the practice. So much that flames were emerging from the top of his head and burning the universe. And Brahma himself came, sprinkled water from his kamandalu, and gave him the most magnificent, powerful body. And and offered him any benedictions. Hiranyakashipu, he wanted to conquer the universe and be immortal. And Brahma, he said, I can't make you immortal, because even I'm not immortal. Even I only live 311 trillion years, and then I have to die. That wasn't enough for Hiranyakashipu. So through his intellect, incredible intellect, he basically negotiated with Brahma. And as far as he could see, what he got out of it was immortality. I cannot be killed either in day or night, inside or outside, in the land, in the air, in the water, by any created being, by any weapon. So with the powers he achieved, and he also begged for all the eight mystic cities in full, and the ability to conquer anyone except Brahma and Shiva and Vishnu. And he did. It describes that all the demigods and even the great sages and rishis were his obedient servants. And he didn't ask anything nicely. He didn't say, Bayu, I want the wind to be like this, please. He would say, do it, the wind like this, or you will die. So the wind was like that. Just by raising his eyebrows, even the devas would shake in fear. And his little son, who loved him more than anybody in creation, he was a devotee. And Hiranyakashipu could not tolerate anybody accepting anyone more powerful than him. You see, the false ego, greed, lust, all these material propensities are compared to fire. No matter how much you get, you're never satisfied. You want money, you get money. If that's what makes you happy, it burns like fire. You need more and more and more. You want prestige, you think that'll make you happy. The more you get, the more you need. Because the soul is looking for love of Krishna, love for God. And if we try to replace it with anything else, the soul will never be satisfied. If that's our object of love, the soul wants infinite happiness because we're such an ananda. So if we're looking for it in Krishna, we find it. But if we look at anywhere else, we need more and more and more and more till infinity, because it does not provide. So his ego was so great. The only person in the whole universe who was not totally... And Prahlad was obedient, except he wouldn't give up his devotion to Krishna. But that made Hiranyakashipu totally miserable. It's like if you're walking through a forest on the most wonderful day in the city, birds are singing, and the sun is shining, and the breeze is carrying fragrant flowers, and your health just feels so nice. And then one little thorn goes into your foot. How big is the thorn? How much space does that little thorn take in your body? Just hardly 1/10,000th of your body is the amount of space that thorn. But yet you can't enjoy anything because of that little pinprick. So Hiranyakashipu, he had everything just the way he wanted it. But because he couldn't control Prahlad, his whole life was totally miserable. That was his psychology. It's human psychology. So ultimately, Narasingha Dev came. Prahlad never prayed, "My Lord, save me." He never prayed, "My Lord, punish my father." Prahlad's only prayer was, "My Lord, I am yours. How may I serve you?" And Narasingha Dev allowed Prahlad to go through all of the things that he did, just to make, because if he, by doing so, he magnified the greatness of Prahlad's devotion, the purity of his love for all time to come. And then Narasingha Dev himself, he had a good fight with Hiranyakashipu and ultimately liberated him. Prahlad was brought before Lord Narasingha Dev, and he offered beautiful prayers. Prayers of total love and devotion and surrender. And in the verses that precede today's, Lord Narahari is glorifying his Prahlad. Just as Prahlad gave his whole life to glorify his Lord, now Krishna is glorifying his devotee. How he never wanted anything but to always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna. His heart was completely pure. He wasn't concerned with life. He wasn't concerned with death. He wasn't concerned with convenience or inconvenience, pleasure or pain. His only concern was, "My Lord, how can I serve you? Let me always remember you in every situation." And Narasingha Dev explained very beautifully in previous verses how, "I want you now to become the king, to take the post that your father was in. And even though you don't want anything, it's my desire that you do it. And through your happiness, you will exhaust all your pious activities. And through whatever inconveniences or pains may be, you will exhaust all your impious activities. And by remembering me, you will never be separate from me." And then Narasingha Dev ends by saying that one who always remembers your activities and my activities also, and who chants the prayers you have offered, becomes free in due course of time from the reactions of material activities. Now for us, this "in due course of time" is very important. That means it is for certain. But Rupa Goswami tells us we must be enthusiastic to practice bhakti. But at the same time, we must be patient. Enthusiasm to practice our sadhana, to practice the regulative principles, enthusiastic to live in a spirit of seva. But patient. Whether it takes one day or one year or one lifetime or 100 lifetimes or 1,000 lifetimes is a detail. If we are sincere, then Krishna will do what is best for us. And faith is to understand that Krishna will do what is best for us if we surrender our hearts with sincerity. Narasingha Dev is offering Prahlad any benediction. In today's verse, one of the most famous and powerful prayers in all of Srimad Bhagavatam. The only thing Prahlad is praying for is give my father liberation. Free him from all of his sins. Because it broke Prahlad's heart. You could imagine how blissful little Prahlad was when the Supreme Personality of Godhead appeared in this most extraordinary form of half man, half lion. And he was really gigantic. He was roaring. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was in Singhachalam, which is today Vishakhapatnam, on a mountain where there's a very famous temple of Narasingha, Sri Chaitanya was singing a beautiful verse that Lord Narasingha is like a mother lion. The nature of a mother lion is she's very gentle and kind and tender and loving to her cub, but she's death personified to anyone who wants to harm her cub. And Prahlad was his little cub. So Prahlad was not seeing a fearsome, death-personified form of the Lord. He was seeing such beauty and such sweetness in Lord Narasingadeva, because that's the way Narasingadeva was revealing himself to Prahlad. Srila Prabhupada, in one purport, used the example of a mother cat. To the kitten, the mother cat is the most loving, gentle, protective person in all of creation. But to a rat, the mother cat is death personified. Now the mother cat carries the rat and the kitten in the same mouth with the same teeth, but they both have totally different experiences. One feels fearless in the mouth of the mother, and one feels total fear in the mouth of the mother. So little Prahlad sees Hiranyakashipu, oh, how beautiful, how sweet, how lotus-like. And Hiranyakashipu is seeing him as the greatest threat, the greatest enemy. And Prahlad's bowing down to the form of Narasingadeva, and Hiranyakashipu's drawing his sword and attacking to kill. Fighting with all of his powers. It was a culture shock for Hiranyakashipu, because nobody could stand before him. In all of his mystic powers, he was flying, and he was shooting astras, and he was his sword and everything he had. And Narasingadeva was, again, the example is like a cat and a rat just playing. You know, a cat sometimes plays with a mouse and then lets it go. And then the mouse thinks, oh, just see, I'm winning. And then the cat brings it back. And ultimately, after an incredible battle, Hiranyakashipu was finished. And little Prahlad, he's saying, my father, he hated you. He was fighting with you. He wanted to hurt you. How terrible. And I'm your devotee. He tried to kill me in so many ways. He tried to torture me. And this is interesting how Prabhupada, how Prabhupada presents it, that Prahlad is not saying that he did this to me, therefore it was an offense. He's so humble. He's saying it was offensive because he was doing it to your devotee. I'm your devotee. And because of my love for you, he was doing that. So really, his enemy was not me, his enemy was you. And how that tore Prahlad's heart up. that his father was so sinful and offensive. And yet he's begging for him to be liberated. Most of us, if somebody did even one millionth of an injustice to us, in our back of our minds, we would probably be thinking, God, I wish this person would just suffer in hell. But Prahlad is begging, if you want to give me a benediction, let him go back home, back to God. And this is the consistent and one of the most prominent themes of the whole Srimad Bhagavatam and Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, which is the postgraduate study of Srimad Bhagavatam. We read about Maharaj Yudhisthira. Duryodhana was so wicked and envious and cruel. Yudhisthira Maharaj didn't even want the battle of Kurukshetra. But it had to be done because Duryodhana was so uncompromising in his envy and cruelty. Yudhisthira tried everything to avoid it, but it couldn't be. And afterward, Yudhisthira Maharaj was blaming himself for all the sorrow and death. Then we have little Dhruva Maharaj. He was wickedly abused emotionally by his stepmother. But after he had the darshan of Lord Krishna, he loved his stepmother like his own mother. He gave her all forgiveness and gave her all protection as the king for the rest of his life according to his capacity. Ambarish, Durvasa Muni, he comes to Ambarish's house. Ambarish was actually in Madhuban. He was fasting, an Ekadasi fast for 1 year. And this is Satyayuga, where technicalities were taken very seriously. You had to break the fast by a certain time, no earlier, no later. And if you didn't, all the benefits of what you've done are lost, and you actually make an aparad. In other words, you're doing it for a benefit, and if you don't break it right at the right time, instead of getting all the benefits, all you get is an aparad, an offense. That's quite serious. Kali Yuga, those technicalities aren't taken so seriously. Just chant Hare Krishna and everything becomes all right if you... as far as that goes. Still, we should try our best. So Durvas comes, and Ambarish says, please take prasad, you're my guest. And Durvas says, yes, let me go to Yamuna to take my bath. Then I will come for prasad. So he goes to Yamuna, and he starts chanting mantras, and he goes into samadhi. And Ambarish is waiting, and it's not that you can just start splashing water on Durvasa and saying, come now. You have to just wait. So Ambarish was so humble. He inquired from Brahmins and sages, what should I do? It seems like if I take a little charanamrit, that's simultaneously breaking the fast and not breaking the fast. Is the drop of charanamrit? A little water that's been offered to the feet of the Lord. And everyone said, yes, that is correct. Take charanamrit. So he did it with the guidance of Brahmins, with all good motivation. Durvas Muni, by his mystical powers, can you imagine? He's sitting there in samadhi, and he immediately knew Ambarish drank a drop of charanamrit. He became very angry. Created a fiery First, he insulted Ambarish with the most terrible blasphemies. And Ambarish just stood there. And can you imagine Durvas Muni insulting you? It's quite dramatic. And then took a hair from his head, threw it on the ground, and it became a fiery monster who came to devour Ambarish. And Ambarish just stood there, no fear. He didn't even ask Krishna, save me. Like Prahlad, Krishna, I'm yours, in life or death. Maro birago bijo ichatoha nitya dasa pratitua adhikar. Bhakti Vinod Thakur prayed like this. My Lord, if you want to protect me, or if you want to kill me, as you like, I'm your servant forever. That is the mood of a great devotee. So Krishna sent his Sudarshan Chakra, destroyed the demon, and that Sudarshan Chakra went to Durvas, and he ran away in fear, and he ran to Indra, and ran to Brahma, and ran to Shiva, and they all said, it's Vishnu's weapon, we can do nothing. He went to Vishnu in Vaikuntha, and he fell at Vishnu's feet. Vishnu said, well, I cannot do anything. He said, but it's your weapon. He said, but you have offended my devotee. Because a devotee always keeps me in his or her heart. And because I always keep my devotee in my heart. When you offend my devotee, you offend me. Go to Ambarish. He's the only one he could protect you. And that took a year, going all over the place trying to get shelter. Ambarish didn't eat anything for that whole year. He was waiting to serve Durvasa. And the whole time, he was praying to the Sudarshan Chakra and to Lord Vishnu, please forgive him. Give him your mercy. And then Durvas Muni understood what kind of yogi this householder is. He has children, he has a wife, he has a palace. But what kind of devotee is he? So Srimad Bhagavatam is filled with these stories. And Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat, we read about Haridas Thakur. He was brutally insulted, condemned, then beaten through 22 marketplaces with the sole intent to torture and kill him by cruel, wicked people. And the whole time he was being beaten severely, Haridas was crying in compassion. Please, my Lord, forgive them. And years later, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu manifested his Mahaprakash Leela in the house of Srivas, he showed his form of Krishna to Haridas. And he said, Haridas, he was telling this in front of all the devotees so that the whole world would hear about Haridas's greatness. He said, when those people were beating you, I actually called for my Sudarshan Chakra. But because you were praying from your heart of heart, the only benediction you wanted while you're being beaten. It's one thing, you know, after you get better to get philosophical about things. But when you're in the heat of the trauma, that's when you're really tested. He was in the heat of being insulted, blasphemed, and beaten severely. And while that was happening, he was praying, please give them love of God. Forgive them. Don't let this be seen as an offense. The Lord said, your prayers of love and forgiveness to them was so powerful, I could not harm them. So all I could do, I couldn't stop them because of you. I laid my body over yours and took some of the beatings that were meant for you just to save your life. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showed him and everyone else the beating marks on his own body. Srila Prabhupada's prayers on Jaladutta. He's simply praying, Krishna, give me the words to transform their hearts, relieve them of their sins and their attachments. Give me the words, your words, to make them happy. So this is pure devotional service. And because this lesson is so consistent, Gopal Chapala and Srivas, Vasudev Dutt, Nityananda Prabhu, with Jagai and Madhai. Madhai wanted to kill Nityananda Prabhu. Jagai and Madhai were chasing them with the intent to kill them. On another example, Madhai took a pot and with all of his power, and he was extremely powerful. Sometimes in our dramas, Jagai and Madhai are made to look like real kind of stupid, drunken people. Like, Madhai, Jagai. It wasn't at all like that. They were always drunk, but they were like Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha. They were like Ravana in Kumbhakarna. They were nasty, cruel, and extremely powerful. Even the police would not come near them. Even the military didn't mess with them. They were fearful. And here they were. He beat Nityananda on the head. And he was just about to beat him again. And Nityananda, covered with blood, Nityananda Prabhu was praying, whatever you do to me, that's all right. But what causes me great pain is the sinful life you're living. Just take the name of Krishna and be happy. And when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to the spot and actually manifested again his Sudarshan Chakra, Nityananda Prabhu begged and prayed, please don't harm him. Give him love of God. Give him love for Krishna. If you kill him, you might as well kill everybody. Because in this age of Kali Yuga, everyone's more or less a Jagai and Madhai. Dinahinayata chilo hadinama udhadilo tara sakshi jagai madhai. Narottam Das Thakur offers this prayer. The power of the holy name of Krishna, that it even purified and gave prema bhakti to Jagai and Madhai. Because Nityananda Prabhu prayed for them. That's all he asked. So this verse is a great beacon of light in this age of vengeance and the inability of forgiveness and self-centeredness. And this verse is not just a detail aspect of Srimad Bhagavatam. It is manifesting a predominant theme throughout Srimad Bhagavatam. The theme of compassion. It's easy to be compassionate when we get all kinds of physical, emotional, and social benefits from it. But real compassion is unconditional. That is what Prahlad Maharaj has exhibited. That is what our beloved Srila Prabhupada exhibited. And when Srila Prabhupada was asked, what is our qualification to get the highest revelations of Sri Vrindavan Goloka as our aspiration in life? What is our qualification to get that? And with all humility and honestly, he said, you had no qualifications. He said, I made your qualifications. Vanchakalpatarubhyascha kripasindubhyeva cha patitanam bhavanibhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namah. Just like the only qualification for Hiranyakashipu to get liberated, Prahlad made it for him. It was his prayers. It was his mercy. In the same way, for us, what was our qualification? We're all like kind of little uncoordinated Hiranyakashipus in one sense. But the prayers of a great soul. The prayers of a great soul, the blessings of a great soul, the intervention in our lives by a great soul to bring Krishna's grace is our qualification. And accepting that grace, it's not just about, you know, talking about how great we are because we're someone's disciple or because of our grand disciple, whatever it may be. Accepting that grace means to actually receive what he has given us. Srila Prabhupada was asked, how could we repay you? He said, just accept what I'm giving and give it to others. You know, it is our responsibility on whatever level to really try, each and every one of us, to emulate and hold on the altar of our highest aspiration and never lose sight of what we ultimately want. And that is the qualities of Prahlad. The qualities of Ambarish. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we were discussing at Laguna Beach, he would listen to these stories of Dhruva and Prahlad 100 times in a row. When he would sit in Tota Gopinath Temple in Jagannath Puri, Gadadhar Pandit is Sri Radharani. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna in the bhava, Mahabhava of Sri Radharani. So and they would read Srimad Bhagavatam for at least 3 hours every day together. And they're in Puri, which is a Vipralamba Dham, a place where Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was manifesting the highest ecstasies of Radha's love and separation. But they would read Srimad Bhagavat from beginning to end, again and again and again. And when they would come to the story of Dhruva or come to the story of Prahlad, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it's a long story, Prahlad. In the original editions, it took up over one, it took, I think, 2 volumes. Now it's just a big section of the 7th canto, many chapters. It takes hours and hours and hours to read. And they would discuss it. When they'd come to the end, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would say, read it again. 100 times minimum they would read before they would go on to the next chapters. Now Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Radha Krishna Pranaya Vikritir Ladini Shakti Rashmat, the one absolute truth is eternally Radha Krishna, too, for the sake of loving rasa or prema. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, according to Swarup Damodar Goswami, his uniqueness is he's come to give to the world what no one else has ever given so freely, the conjugal loving pastimes of Radha Krishna in Vrindavan. He's come to give us entrance into that. So while he's relishing the story of Prahlad, why not Radharani and gopis in the kunjas of Braj? He was totally immersed in that. But how much he relished the love of Prahlad. And how much he wanted to show us that we cannot enter into the loving mood of the gopis and the gopas of Vrindavan unless we emulate the character and the qualities of Prahlad. Do we have that forgiveness? Do we have that unconditional compassion? That's a prerequisite for Vrindavan. And to simultaneously cultivate is the proper approach that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has taught us of how to be an actual follower of the Srimad Bhagavatam. The path back home, back to God. Srila Prabhupada, I believe here in New Dwarka there's that lecture series where he spoke for many weeks on the prayers of Queen Kunti. And I remember in 1976 when Srila Prabhupada came to New Vrindavan, he was reading the prayers of Prahlad Maharaj every day. And I remember very clearly how, because I would always stand up in class because I only got about 2 hours sleep a night. And if I sat down, I was afraid I would fall asleep. So I was standing kind of near the back while Srila Prabhupada was giving class. And there was Radha Damodar parties there, and there was so many devotees that came from so many places. And it was interesting. His first class, if I remember, was quite long. And most devotees were actually falling asleep. But because I was standing up, I was not falling asleep so much. His classes, if you listen to the tapes of them, they're just incredible. But devotees, you know, they... So his classes kind of got shorter and shorter just to accommodate. But how enthusiastic and how compassionate he was reading through the verses to give us an understanding of the necessity of emulating Prahlad Maharaj's spirit of devotion. And he's speaking to us through his purports forever to give us that same experience. Thank you very much. Shri Shri Rukmini Dwarkadish Ki Jai. Swabhas Prabhu, thank you for giving me chance to serve. Thank you, everybody. Hare Krishna.